And I'd like to welcome everybody out there on internet land to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know that the Heart of Christ Church is called such because we are to be as the heart of Christ, as He taught us to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ out into this world. And today, that's exactly what we're doing, and we do it every time we gather. And today, we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew once again, because we're continuing on. Many people would wonder, you know, well, it's Maundy Thursday. Shouldn't you be preaching on the scriptures of Maundy Thursday from Luke or from John? Well, the answer to that is yes, I could. But what if God has something else to show us somewhere else that points to Maundy Thursday and what Jesus established and what was going on in His life and how He shows us that He lived Maundy Thursday throughout all His life? Because in Maundy Thursday, the trial of His life began. Because Jesus, as we read from the beginning, did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And we need to understand that. Because in that, He is the Savior of man. He's not here to judge. He is to bring salvation. And that is supposed to be our mission now as the church, to bring salvation into the lives of others, to introduce them to that which we know. And what does that look like? Well, Jesus showed us through the way He lived and through the way He taught. And we're simply continuing on in the very famous Sermon of the Mount. And as we look at where we are, it just so amazes me how this thing breaks down, that all through Lent, if we look at what's happening in the series of Lent as it unfolds, we see the Sermon on the Mount falls directly into it. So today we're going to continue there. We're going to be in verse 1 through 12 in chapter 7. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to chapter 7 in the book of Matthew, you're going to see exactly where Jesus' life led and where He wants us to lead and how we are to lead. Now, I'm going to read 1 through 12, and then I'm going to go back, as I've been doing through this sermon series, and we're going to break it down a couple verses at a time and put this into its perspective for each and every one of us. So from the first verse in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, from the Sermon of the Mount, thus saith the Lord: Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye"? Behold, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And the church says, amen. And amen. As we break this down, verses 1 and 2 from the 7th chapter tell us that we're not supposed to judge. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judged, you will be judged, and by the standard of your measure, it will be measured to you. Now, I want you to think historically. Remember, when we do study, when we're studying the Word, we use hermeneutics. And the hermeneutics that I employ is the HGRT method, as I've told you before in other sermons. HGRT stands for what? Historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological. Those are the four perspectives that we look upon the Scriptures and we draw from them their meaning. We do not read into it, we read out of it from the context that it is written, from the people that it is written to, in the day that it is written, for the purpose that it is written, and unto the wholeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. So we're told here that we're not to judge, lest we would be judged. And I think that's amazing because our world throws that in our faces. Can I get an amen, church? Number one, the world needs to understand when they're saying that, they need to look at themselves and determine whether they're judging somebody and making that statement. Because that's mostly the case. Can I get an amen, church? All we're doing is accentuating the truth. Thus saith the Lord. Well, don't judge me. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not judging you. I'm simply telling you what truth is. Okay? Now, I want you to think about that in context. Because remember, the priests, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were the people who were in charge of Israel, their religious political system. Remember, in Israel, religion and politics were one and the same. And they taught the people in a manner that they wanted them to hold to rather than teaching them the true word of God. We need to understand that in its context. Remember, when Jesus was bringing us the Sermon on the Mount, he was reestablishing Old Testament theology. Okay? So when we read this book, when we read Matthew, and when we read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is reestablishing the theology that was supposed to be from the beginning. That the people of Israel weren't to judge everybody else and condemn them, but they were to open the Word of God to them to be a light unto the darkness that was surrounding them. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying here. In your being a light, don't become darkness. Remember, we just read that last Sunday when we got together. Okay, because if what we see is really darkness, how dark is it when we consider it to be light? We need to understand when we are looking at other people. You know, I've said this often, and many of you here know I've said it. You know, I long for the days when we get people coming through the door with all colored, multicolored hair, and we have them. I mean, Dottie's one daughter. It's like three different colors. There she is. I mean, look at her. Put the camera on her, okay? There she is. Praise Jesus. My hair's different colors, too. The reality is when people come to Christ, they're all going to look different. Can I get an amen? And they're going to be different because we're in sin. And those of us who are in Christ know we are yet sinners saved by grace. Hence, we cannot judge. We should not judge another person unto condemnation. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. And he wants us to be that very same thing. I am saved in spite of my sin. Can I get an amen, church? I don't think I'm the only one here that's in that boat. And that's what Jesus is talking to us about. He wants the people who are out there, because believe me, he was talking to people who were judging everybody. And why do you think the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated him? Because they were judging him not according to what he was doing, but according to what they wanted. They didn't want a Savior who was going to make them righteous. They wanted a Savior who was going to make them politically superior. And you and I are not of this world any longer. We're in this world, but we're of another kingdom. And there is one judge. Can I get an amen, church? And that judge is our Lord and Savior. But that judgment is reserved to when? You know, I think that's one of the most amazing things that many of us forget. That judgment takes place after everything is done. That's at the end of the millennium when everything is judged. Prior to that, he is the Savior. Now, after the tribulation, he is going to be a judge in part. He says that when he comes, he brings his reward with him, right? Because he's talking about judging those who are going unto perdition. They will be destroyed and we won't see them for 1,000 years. But then those who remain are going to live with him for 1,000 years. And then it starts over again for 13 years. Sin is allowed to come back in. Just so Israel can be judged a third time. And that is something we all need to remember. God came to save the world, not to judge the world. And he tells us, and I love this, you know, we all quote this, and I know we do, you know, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Who was he talking to when he said that? He was talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the ruling people, because they were sick. They didn't realize they were sick. But he was also talking to sinful Israel, and he's talking to sinful us. Can I get an amen? Before I bother with telling my brother his faults, don't I need to look at mine first? Now, I'm going to ask my church here, because I can't ask you out there on internet land. But I'm going to ask my church here, any of you still got a log in your eye? They're all smirking at me. I know you can't see it, but I'm on this side, and they're all smirking at me. And the reality is, yes, we do. We know we're not perfect. We're not there yet. So how can we go up to somebody and try to tell them, you got to get rid of this when we've got all of this to get rid of? That's why I tell people that are in Christ, you know, the reason God has you out there is so the people who have the speck in their eye can see the log sticking out of yours and see the grace that you've received. Think about that. Because if God has forgiven us this much and it's still there, how much more can he forgive those whose sins are lesser? But don't we all look at people and, you know, I call it the Jerry Springer mentality. You know, have you ever watched Jerry Springer? Years ago, I'm talking 20 years ago, okay? He would bring people in and they were some of the most deplorable things that you could ever hope for. And every week it would be worse. Why? Because if this is abnormal, then I'm normal, no matter what. And that's the way the world looks at this. Because even though I know I have things wrong, I'm not as bad as they are. But the reality is there any measure of sin? Is not sin sin, which equates what, church? Death. Separation from God. So again, when we think about what Jesus is talking about here, here he's looking at these people that were coming and telling him, remember, you know, at one point here, they're going to get to the place where they're going to tell him he's casting out demons in the name of because he is of Beelzebub. That's the name of Satan, all right? It's one of the head demons. So they're telling him, he who has come in righteousness and holiness, who's healing people and setting the captives free, he's giving them salvation. What's he literally telling them? Your faith has made you whole. Have faith in God. And they're saying, oh, that can't be. Why? Because they couldn't do those things. But how much of that can we do without believing faith? We can't do any of it without believing faith. So therefore, we're going to cast aside everything that doesn't look like what we look like. And even if it does look like what we look like, we're still going to point it out because it's not me. And that's where Jesus says, stop. Stop. And then I want you to look at the very next scripture, verse 6. What does he say in verse 6? You know, I often thought that verse 6 just kind of lays in there and it doesn't make any sense to me. But I've come to realize what Jesus was talking about. It says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. There are those out there who are not going to receive the good news that we have. That's the holy things, because we've been transformed by them. So don't just put it out there and keep putting it out there and getting beat down. Jesus said to his apostles, when you're not received into this town, what do I want you to do? He said, I want you to shake the dust off of your feet and turn and go. When you're not welcomed, it's time to leave. We are not to be those who bring condemnation. Remember, Jesus didn't come to judge. He came to bring peace. He came to bring salvation, which is a free gift. And if it's not received, leave. Leave. Because if you don't, they're going to turn and try to tear you apart. Is that not what they did to Jesus? Did they not put him on a cross because he wouldn't leave? He kept leaving. He would leave this town and go to that town and go to that town and go to that town. And wherever he went, what did they do? They followed him. Who's they? The righteous and the unrighteous. Both followed him. The one to persecute him and the other to praise him. It's the same way today in our world. We have those who are going to follow us to praise Jesus because it's not about us. Can I get an amen, church? But it is truly about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he leads us into all of these things. And as we are accepted, pour out more of what you know in your life, through your friends, through acquaintances, and what have you. But when you're rejected, don't stay there and get beat up. Leave. You've planted the seed. Let somebody else water it. Let somebody else till it another time, a little later. Have you ever noticed that when you pull weeds out of your garden, it looks beautiful for a little while? But what ultimately comes right back up? More weeds. Why? Because those seeds lay in the soil dormant for years. We need to remember the seed of truth is the same way. And if we have cared for that seed, planted it well, we don't know when it's going to bear fruit. God does. So allow that to him. Allow that to him. And move forward. So Jesus moves forward with us. Please remember, this is all looking at what was he doing during Maundy Thursday, leading up to Maundy Thursday. He is God, and he didn't come to judge the world, did he? He didn't come to point out their sins. He came to point out their salvation. And that's exactly what he did. Now, did he point out some sins to some people? Yes, he did, and so are we. But when he pointed them out, did he not say, now come and follow me? Yeah, he did. And that's what we need to say too. Because now that leads into our next section. It says to us from the 7th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask? I have had so many people say to me, you know, I've prayed about this. I've sought after God. I've knocked on the door I'm not getting the answers that I want. That's because you're going in the wrong manner. This is talking about salvation. This is talking about Jesus. When we think about what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about the gift of salvation. He came that anyone who would talk to him. Remember, one woman didn't even talk to him. All she did was what? Touch the hem of his. I'm amazed how many of you just mouthed that before I spoke it, because you know what I'm saying. Okay? And what did Jesus do? Just keep going? No, he stopped to recognize that woman. so that she would understand that what she did was by faith, and through faith she was healed. She was seeking to the point that she moved. And Jesus said, when you seek, you will find. Did she find? Yes, she did. And she had been asking for years. She had been looking for years. She had been knocking on that door for years. But it could not be answered until Jesus came. How many of our people in our world right now, how many of us who are in Christ, we're looking for something that fulfills, something that gives us purpose, something that gives us hope. And we have been looking for it and calling out for it. I'm going to tell you right now, we just got done doing our prayer walk on Sunday, and this is a true story, and Brother Bobby can back it up for me. Very first house we went to, we prayed together, we left, we set up, and we started going. Bobby and I went to the first house, knocked on the house, Bob introduced us to who we were, what we were there for, and the young man who opened the door started crying. He said, oh, you won't believe this. He said, I was just praying to God, asking him for help. And here you are. That's my God. And he is available for anyone who would seek after him, who would knock, and the door will be open unto you. You and I need to understand that's what Jesus here is talking about. It's not about having wealth and having health and all this other stuff. That's not the priority. What's the priority? Our salvation, our eternity. We are eternal beings. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created to live forever, alive, like you and I are now. They were created to live forever. The tree of life was in the garden, and they could eat from it. And had they ate from that tree, rather than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would have lived forever. How do we know that? God said so. I got to remove them, lest they eat of the tree and live forever like us. Now we have to wait, because the curse has come. Jesus did not remove the curse, he removed the penalty of the curse. The penalty of the curse is death forever. We will die once. It is appointed unto man to die once, because we broke that law. But through the love of God, anyone who seeketh him, anyone who knocks on that door, will be found by him, declares the Lord. That's Jeremiah 29:11. You think this is new stuff in the New Testament? No, it's telling us what the Old Testament was really speaking about. It's understanding. There are people out there, so many people out there, that are looking for something. They're turning this, I'm going to talk about it, they're turning to the LGBTQ stuff. Why? Because they're longing for something that's going to give them identity. Because the evil one has stripped it away. They don't know who they are because no one has raised them up on a solid foundation. So they turn to that which feels good in the moment. But in the long haul, how many of them get hurt? How many of them were hurt before they turned there? Believe me, I know. It's a horrible thing to be in the hands of Satan, because all that's there is loss. All that's there is lies. But when we knock on the door of Christ's heart, when we seek him out, he will find us. And he will open to us what? Eternity, salvation, foreverness with God. I love how verses 10 and 11, 9, 10, and 11 look at us as people. You know, our kids ask us for things. They need things. They want things. And we want to show our children love, so we give them these good things. But I need to ask you a question. How many of those things that we give them are going to last unto eternity? How many of those things are going to last unto eternity? But how many of us can give hope? That's something we can't even hold on to. It's not tangible. But yet, is it real? Yes, we know it's real because it's here. I didn't put it here, God did. And in that hope, nothing this world is going to throw at me is going to matter or make a difference. Because I know when I close my eyes on this side of eternity and open them on that side of eternity, my world's going to be entirely different. And that different is going to be whole with Christ in glory unto the day we come back and we get our resurrected bodies. I want you to think about that day. You know, I'm looking at my congregation here, and, you know, I have a couple of you that are under 30, but for the most part, we're well beyond. And how many of us, though I don't want to go back to the age of 30, would like to have a body that was the age of 30? Yeah, everybody's shaking their head. Because in that day, there was nothing that I could not do. And there is going to be a day when you and I cannot even begin to fathom the things that we will be able to do. The Word of God tells us, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus went through Maundy Thursday, what we call Good Friday, unto Resurrection Sunday for us. It was Him working out this very portion of Scripture that He didn't come to judge, and that if we knock, He's there to answer and give us that which never ends, and that's eternal life. When we think about how, I don't put this stuff together, God puts it together. When we think about how the Sermon on the Mount literally lays out everything that God has in store for us, is there any reason why it's the only complete sermon that Jesus ever taught that's in the Scriptures? There are pieces of many of the others, but this one is total, it's whole. Why? Because it's that important. It truly is God bearing His heart to each and every one of us. And the amazing thing is, we aren't done yet. Easter Sunday is a few days away, and we've got to end this sermon. Now, I want you all to read this, and you tell me how it leads into Easter Sunday. And on Sunday, I'll show you. And for those of you out there on the internet, I pray you'll join us on Sunday in person. And if you can't because of your location, tune in. Because the Word is the Word, whether you're here or whether you're hearing it. Because the Word says to us, how will they be saved lest they hear? And how will they hear lest we go? So may we go into all the world, as Jesus taught us with the very golden rule. What is it? Look at your Bibles. Verse 12, the last verse. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Isn't that how He treated us? He went to the cross because He knew we couldn't pay the price. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. We need to be examples of Christ's life. We need to see that it's going to cost us something. It cost Jesus, didn't it? How many of us are willing to pay that price? That means being invested in other people's lives. That means sometimes being hurt, and that's okay. Because people do hurt, and they hurt others. Intentionally, sometimes. Unintentionally, far more often. Amen? Because we've all done it, haven't we? And we need to remember, Jesus here, He could have called, what did He tell Peter? I could call 10,000 legions. Do you know how many angels that is? There's 6,000 in a legion. 6,000 times 10,000 is 600,000. He could have called 600,000 angels. Do you realize what He was telling Peter? He could have destroyed everyone on the planet and started over. Instead, He chose one death over everybody's. his very own. That's living the golden rule to the nth degree. May we live it according to the flesh and the giving of ourselves to others, because that's what Jesus shows us. Monday, Thursday, out of the book of Matthew, out of the lips of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And not just his lips, but his life everlasting. Can I get an amen, church? Pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for the gospel of your Son, who is our Savior. That yes, Lord, we are sinners and we need to confess our sin and walk with you. And it's going to be hard, but we won't be alone, because yes, you'll be here, but there will be other sinners to walk with, others to find and bring, that together we may be changed by the renewing of our minds as we submit ourselves to the true biblical perspective. Lord, may we truly become the body of Jesus Christ, and may we exemplify his love, his hope, his grace, and his mercy. Show us all the way unto life, Lord, which is through your Son, who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.